Welcome to the Black Psychologist Podcast, where we have conversations and give insight into human behavior and promote mental health wellness. I'm Dr. Kyle Osborne, and with my co-host, Dr. Jason Coleman, we'll discuss health topics, everyday life issues, and try to give you a better understanding of yourself, other people, and the world around you. So just sit back, relax, and hopefully you'll leave with some information that'll have you living your best, healthy life. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the podcast.
Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to the Black Psychologist Podcast, presented by the Black Psychologist Network, the Psychology of Love Edition, where we discuss all things related to dating, relationships, marriage, divorce, etc. I am one half of your humble and gracious host, Dr. Kyle Osborne. He is I, and I am him. And of course, you all know I'm never here by myself. I'm not flying this aircraft by myself. I'm joined by New Jersey's finest, the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, my esteemed colleague, my friend, my brother, Dr. Jason Coleman. What's going on, good brother?
Good, man. You know, working hard, relaxing, but you know, it's one of those special days, man. You know, it's not about me. It's one of those special days, man, but I'm good.
Well said. Absolutely. And of course, it's only appropriate that when talking about relationships that we bring in one of the leading experts in the field. This amazing psychologist has counseled and helped thousands of couples in their relationship journey. One of the stars of the hit series, Conversation with the Kennys. She's backed by popular demand, our sister in medicine, the love doctor herself, Dr. Ashley Poole. What's going on, Ash?
Ooh, with that introduction there, I'm feeling like Ali out here. You know what I'm saying? But everything is good. Like Jay said, it's rainy out today. You know, it's not about us, but you know, we here to serve. That's what we do. So it's always a pleasure to be back with two of my favorite gentlemen. So looking forward to digging into this relationship talk. We always get it popping.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. We are here to serve, provide individuals with some recommendations, some tips as they navigate this here dating landscape. And, you know, the first thing I feel like we should get into is I wanted to run this past you guys. I want to run this past the love panel in regards to social media compatibility. All right. So much we always talk about physical compatibility, sexual compatibility, emotional compatibility, all these other different things, right? But what I feel like is not talked about is social media compatibility, for the reason that if you look at it, there's been like a high prevalence of numbers of in regards to social media being the reason why relationships don't work. Right. It's been cited in a lot of reasons for divorce and litigation, like just that incompatibility in regards to social media style and personality between individuals while they're in a relationship. So I wanted to get your input on how important this is in a relationship. You know, when you might have someone that posts a lot and someone that doesn't, someone that, you know, has a situation where maybe they have their branded social media and others doesn't. Some person, you know, all these other just kind of different kind of social media present styles and how important that may be in a relationship. So I wanted to get your, you know, your take on that, Dr. P. What do you think?
So y'all know I love social media. I've done presentations on social media, mental health. And, you know, to your point, it is something like newer that people are having to reflect on. It's like you can like everything about the person, y'all vibing, but then you see like they acting like a nut on social media. And in their mind, it's like this whole social media is not real. So, you know, like I'm just up there with my aliens. So I'm not, you know, putting you out there. I actually know a couple. They did get divorced. They did have very different social media usage styles. But that wasn't, that in itself wasn't the only reason, but it was, you know, it was important because if you think about it, most social media users that are like active and high users, and especially if they're brand content creators, they are using social media a lot often. So it does kind of come up. It's like every day you can post something triggering to your partner. So I do think that it's important, but I do think that it's something that can be worked out. Usually individuals are willing to compromise. Sometimes the compromise is you're not following your partner. So then you're not even aware of what they're doing on social media. And then another strategy that I've seen people utilize is if they are, they're not following each other, or they're telling peers like, look, don't tell me what, you know, so-and-so is doing on social media. And I've seen it resolved in that way, but I also have seen it, you know, kind of conflictual. I mean, and with OnlyFans, is that social media? Because wasn't it a basketball player, a retired ex-basketball player that ended up like ending it with his wife because he found out she had OnlyFans?
Yeah, that's so a good
He thought it was Joe Smith's wife, right?
And then she went on gay camera massage on It Is What It Is. So
you went on a show.
So with that being said, I do think that, you know, it can make or break you, but I haven't, usually it's something else. It's not only this person is amazing, great, they got screwed up social media, I want it to end. It's like, you already not, you know, on my level or doing what I need you to do, and you spending all your time on social media. So that's just kind of my perspective, because I haven't seen it in relationships from my experience, but I have seen it become a reason for people to act out.
What you think, Jack?
I think context is important, right? Kind of like stages and ages, like, you know, not directly applicable, but like why you're using it, right? Because if it's two people that are like young or middle-aged, whatever, and they're building a brand and they're on social media a lot, and that may be something that kind of brings them together, right? Now, I was reading a stat on Pew that was saying, they were talking about like partner relationships, you know, not necessarily married people, but living people that live together. And they were saying like up to 40% of the people surveyed were saying they're bothered by their partner's social media use, right? Mm-hmm. Now that is, it could be a lot of different things, right? It could be like, oh, this person works too much, they're too busy. Or it could be like, oh, they're checking up on their ex. Oh, they're looking, you know, their attention is in a place where it's either not on me or it's not on the things that help our relationship, right? Our kids, whatever it is. So again, I think the context is going to be very important, right? Because anything like, again, if you guys are working together and it's bringing money into the household, and you're working on strategies to promote a business that you created, or, you know, whatever, bring eyes to a page or something that generates, you know, income for your family or a relationship or whatever, that's going to be a benefit. But when you start talking about the personal stuff, right, that takes your attention away from your partner, then that's going to be a problem. I mean, you know, and most of the time, especially when we start talking about people that are like dating, it's like checking up on exes, you know, it's your eyes and attention being on other people and other things. So I think that's where the problems arise. You know what I mean?
I think also a conversation needs to take place about the value, importance, right, of social media in each person's life. Like, how important is it for you to get likes? You know what I mean? Like, is that part of your love language? Is it a situation like if you post something, you're expecting me to like that or comment on it or whatever the case is? Because I've seen situations where you may have the young lady may post something, and if her dude is not really on social media, or he didn't see or he didn't like, but everyone else is, that could cause a problem, right? So I think having that conversation, like, hey, listen, you know, how important is it to you? Like, if I don't see your post, or if like you do work or whatever, and I don't respond to it, or I don't see whatever you're doing on social media, like if I don't respond to it, is that important, right? Yeah. Because you have some people again who put different values in the likes or the response of the comments or whatever the case may be. And you need to know, like, if you just started talking to your partner, like, were they big on social media beforehand, right? Like, you should kind of expect it. Don't get into the relationship and if they're not putting a lot of time towards that. Mm-hmm. And it's, oh, well, I don't, like, you knew that before the situation started or kind of coming into it.
I mean, that sounds crazy to me, but I believe it. And honestly, like, especially when you're talking about, like,
sounds crazy. When you say it sounds like, crazy, what part?
I mean, like, it sounds like outrageous, like somebody posting a picture and then being upset when their partner didn't like it. Because I know it happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. What I'm saying, like, you would think that that person is like showing you admiration, love, whatever it is, in other ways, right? Because you're supposed to be with the person, right?
Man, bro,
so it's not like
people. It's different, like you said. It's ages and stages, right? So, like, me and my best friend, we talk a lot about like meaning, like, you know what I'm saying, like when you do something, what it means, and you know, like, it's the cognitive model: thoughts, feelings, behavior. If your thought is, my man ain't check, he need to be checking for me every day. Like, I saw this video recently. This girl posted, she was like, I don't want to be an independent woman no more. Like, I'm tired of being independent. Like, for some reason, independence with some women is associated with masculinity. And she was like, I don't want to be independent. I don't want to do nothing. I'm an ass. And if I ask you and you don't get it, then like the thought process of today's population, because you have to think, social media is now like a person's identity. It's almost like your yearbook or your commercial. So it's kind of like, why aren't you tapped in? Because I'm gonna tell you, like, that same dude disliking her stuff, she like, oh, he that means something. That means he admires me.
And it could mean something to somebody else's stuff too. Ash, what if you, oh, I thought you like, well, you ain't like mine.
Oh, see, that now that's the gotcha.
No, but what if it's like a person that you like live with or something, and you just
even more so, like, yo, I live with you and you ain't like,
so right, listen, man.
Before you, I know the campaign you're on, but let me advocate for the other side first. I know the campaign. You loosen up the cape, but I know the campaign you're on. What I'm saying is, you could have just hopped out the bed, made breakfast, and just kissed him on the forehead and said, yo, you look beautiful. I gotta go on social media and like this outfit I just saw
you. You on? Why you on? Why you telling me in private? You don't want Kyle to know that you.
Yo, now you know that.
That's what I'm talking about. See?
You're telling me when it's just me and you.
Where's the public? Both y'all making my point for me, right? That is
the love language.
Listen, love language. No, it's real, because like I was looking at, a black couple popped up on my page, and I said I was on the phone with my best friend. I was shifted a screen share, and I was like, "Is this a good looking couple?" She came up with every word except good looking, right? So she was like, oh, they look happy. You know, that's like, it's a black family. I want to be happy for that, whatever. I said, you're using every word except for, are they a good looking couple? And she was like, she finally said, okay, they good looking. So then I went to Keisha from Total and Omar Epps, you know, they're a couple. And all of their pictures, I was like, this is, now she was like, no, that's a good looking couple. She said, but that's their goal. Their goal is like, when you see their pictures, it looks like, They coordinated with their wardrobe. Like, you could say, like, when LeBron and Savannah are going to an event, they're not, it don't look like she going to Whole Foods and look like he going to the Grammys. Like, they're complimenting each other. She said sometimes, like, the way that people pose, you can tell that that's what they're going for, to kind of sell that we're an attractive couple. So with that being said, people are like, do it for the gram. I ain't going to do it. Do it for, like, in their mind, it's kind of like, it's not really real if everybody doesn't know about it. If my homegirls, when I come into work, or my homeboys, when I come to work, because Andrew Tate said men marry women for status. Like, he wants a woman that's going to make him look good or make him look better or be better. So I want my baddie up here. So let's not make it seem like it's only the ladies that's doing this, because there's some of the brothers that's up there, you know, yeah, you know, my, you ain't like my
gym. You said a lot, as usual. And I appreciate it, but we got to take that apart piece by piece, because my first question is this: not take it apart, but talk about it first. Can attention be a love language? Like that?
Yeah, it is.
Craving attention.
Physical touch is.
No. Yeah,
it's attention, right? So you got to figure that's what most people want.
Listen, I loosen up your cape, brother, because you didn't even make my first.
I'm going in.
Because understand what I'm saying. Physical touch, right? We can pinpoint physical touch, right? We can what is the word I'm looking for? When it comes to physical touch, we can connect that to a need, right? A need that is satisfied, right? Right. We can connect that to a core need, right? Something that's functional. What core need or something that a person needs to survive can we connect attention to, like in that manner?
PDAs, public displays of affection. So now PDAs have gone from putting your hand on my back when we're walking down the street and holding my hand and helping me out the car and putting me on the inside of the street when we're walking. Like PDAs have now evolved. Before it was like, are you comfortable like kissing in the supermarket, giving Eskimo kisses before you go to work, you know, when you're taking your lunch from me. So public displays of affection, social media is now would be kind of under that umbrella of public displays.
I'm not talking about people that don't want to be seen like taking pictures with people that they're associated with. That's something totally different. Like we already had the post your spouse conversation. I'm cool with that. I'm talking about people who validate themselves through like likes. Order to get to what we're talking about, you have to physically go look at your picture and then look through the people that looked at and say, yo, Kyle didn't like it. I got 34 other likes, but Kyle didn't like it. So now I'm dissatisfied.
It's heavy.
To me, that's a fundamental difference than somebody that's saying, yo, a hug makes me feel secure. Because the road we're going down with that, you know what I mean? It's like an empty pit. You know what I'm saying? There is no satisfying a person that has that type of need, right? Because what if it's not you? What if it's 30 likes? What if it's 100 likes? That to me, there's a big difference between that and somebody that's saying, yo, you know what I'm saying? When somebody hugs me, when my kids kiss me on the cheek, it makes me feel secure. It makes me feel, you know, loved. It makes me feel that's a little different to me. You know what I'm saying? Like
it's the equivalent to somebody putting a note in your lunchbox. So you got the woman or the man that packs their partner just a lunch, and you got the partner or, you know, that packs a lunch and adds a love note. And so to me, it's kind of like words of affirmation because it's like the hard eyes up there. You know what I'm saying? So now it's a public display of affection, but it's also a word of affirmation. Cause you know, you might say, oh, like my boo a baddie, like, you know, and then it's like, ha, you know, y'all see it.
And listen, bro, I agree with you. I feel like that would be a red flag or it's indicate of someone else that has
y'all so mature. Issues.
But right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, we're coming from a very mature set of like
and educated,
right? Educated. There are some individuals, I'm trying to tell you, especially let's keep in mind the, you know, I don't want to be like the old man, get off my lawn, but the individuals that in generation have grown up, like recognition on all that of affection, all of that is tied into social media. And you know, and I know, like when people have likes and everyone's in the friend network joint, like you can see so-and-so also like this, right? And you may have someone who says, look, you know what I mean? Did you see my post, right? Like, because that question can be asked like very cavalier. Like, oh, did you see my post? I said, such and such. Oh, no, I didn't see it. Well, you didn't see it, but I saw that you saw someone else's thing. Just saying. It can happen, bro.
I just look at
those things as connected to like self-esteem, like popularity is.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And feeling like you have nice clothes on when you go to school, right? It's that type of, to me, it's that type of validation that you get from that, right? So I would never connect that to like a genuine friendship, right? Or a genuine feeling you get from, you know, a handshake or a hug or a kiss, you know? Like to me, we're in a different place when we're equating like likes, bro. Like with
different place, with bro. Okay.
Real tangible thing. But listen. It works in you and Ashley world. So
yeah, and there, no, listen, because I'm not advocating for it, and I do want to say that just because I said for the perspective y'all coming from being educated and thought provoking and more mature, I'm not saying that people that have this preference and need are not, they don't have that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that's just relative to how y'all are able to be more like rationalize why that is not necessarily something that needs to be a big deal or problematic. So if we talk about like ages and stages and phases of life, what if you can't cook me dinner? What if that's the way that we do it? Because you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the stage and age of development. We in college, we in undergrad. I'm a sophomore, you a freshman, you go to Temple, I go to Lincoln. So we ain't seeing each other like that because we ain't got cars. So you ain't cooking me breakfast. We not going. So you got to do something to let people
know. So I got to like your picture. If I don't like your picture,
you better put some hard eyes up there.
Then I'm distracted.
Listen, I'm telling you.
I'm going to
do some history. I'm going to do some research. I'm going to talk to baby girl. She on spring break. But when I get a chance to touch base with her, I'm going to look, because you know her and her friends, they like in relationships and other different things. I'm gonna ask that question. Like, look, is it important?
Come back to it, like you said, Kyle. We taking this discussion and dialogue. Yeah,
I'm gonna ask her. Like, listen, is it important? Like, if your dude or your chick or whoever doesn't like you listening, and I'm gonna report back.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I got to be contrary and gentle on this one. There's no word. I don't buy it, but you know, I respect y'all, but I don't buy it.
Speaking of social media, Risa Tisa. All right, everybody familiar with her?
Woo! That's right. My sound to let you know I'm familiar. Woo!
Here we go. So this young woman, this young lady has blown up in popularity, given her Who the F Did I Marry series that started out on TikTok. It's on YouTube, and it's just taken on a life of its own. You know, shout out to her for her success on social media. But pretty much just to kind of give a brief summation, this young lady has been detailing and chronicling her relationship in which she married a gentleman who she met online. And she said just from, you know, they engaged, they cohabitated through COVID, and then they end up getting married. And now she's been detailing, they're divorced now, but she's just been detailing her horrible experience of how this gentleman was very dishonest with her from the very beginning. From the beginning of like him having two different profiles on social media to lying about his job. I think he had like a couple criminal charges. He lied about places he was going to take her. And she just said that she was bamboozled throughout the whole situation. Right. And she talks about how she ignored. There were red flags, but she ignored them for the reason that she was really focused on finding that person and having a family and so on and so forth. So she details this over like, I don't know, like over eight, 9 hours of like reels and footage and so on and so forth. So Ash, let me know, right? I want to hear from you first. Okay. What is your take on Miss Risa Tisa, and what do you think is driving, while it's, I guess, the popularity? Like what do you think, what's been hooking people?
Yeah, so one of my clients actually told me about her. And, you know, immediately I did like a quick Google search, see what was going on, because like I don't have 9 hours to dedicate to, you know, listening to everything. But at least from what I gather and understand, it's kind of like this series of like, Who the F Did I Marry? And, you know, on the one hand, like I heard that she's made between $86,000 and $100,000 just already. And so shout out to that, because this is, you know, she's doing like, you know, some numbers. That's a quick little grip. So from that standpoint, you know, there was some skepticism about the validity. But then I started hearing feedback that like his relatives were getting involved, his ex-wife, all that kind of stuff to kind of validate her story. And, you know, they said he had mental health issues. I heard bipolar and schizophrenia. I've heard that those were some of the diagnoses that they utilize now. Since I didn't listen to it, and since I don't know her, like just my perspective on that is I wanted to start researching a little bit more. What type of profile woman is this more or less likely to happen to? Because that's what I was talking to one of my friends, because I don't just think that this can happen to any woman. Like, I do think that there's a certain profile of woman, but she did, I believe, gave like three reasons why she kind of like overlooked some of the red flags. The first one was like, she didn't want to have like a relationship that ended so quickly. The second one was, you know, she wanted to like really be married or whatever or something like that. And I forgot what the third one was. And this isn't verbatim with that. But it's hard. I will say this. It's hard for me to have empathy for individuals that find themselves in that predicament, because I do believe, like, that I feel empathy for, like, older adults that get scammed, because my thought is that they really, you know, like, scamming is a newer phenomenon in terms of, like, the methods that they go about it and the way that they target you and how they trap you. But in those cases, like, women of sound mind and body, at least that's how they present themselves, you could do all these narratives and all of that kind of stuff. It's hard for me to be empathetic towards that, but it's like, it's just a wild thing. Like, that's my end result and thought is just kind of wild, because, you know, I know that, you know, I want to be sensitive to people that it happens to, but it's just kind of like, I listen and then just, I'm just like, wow, because at the certain age, you know, maturity is relative, and it's just like.
How old is she? She in her 30s or something?
30? Let's say so. Yeah.
Yeah. At least 21. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a little older. I was going to play the clip, but in, you know, the respect of time, I didn't want to, you know. But no, she appears to be older.
I'm going to look it up.
Not like 40s, but at least mid to late 30s. Yeah, you can check on it. I mean.
Oh, she's 25. I thought and then here's another thing that's not really relevant to what you said, Osmo, but I would still say it. Like, they said that she was a part of the Big Bad crew. Like, I think Charlamagne, did you see that where they were saying that, you know, like, I don't know if that's relevant, but Risa Tisa, whose real name is Teresa McCoy, was born in, this is a quick Google search, was born in 98.
Right? So if that's accurate, I have that prompts or activates even more questions for me, for the reason that I was coming from kind of similar to you, Ashley, where, all right, I don't condone anybody being taken advantage of, right? We understand the game is the game. And if you're kind of coming into a situation and you're kind of putting it all out there, right? Like, you're putting it off, you're kind of, I don't want to say, for a lack of a better term, desperate. But if you're coming into like an intentional and saying, hey, I want to get married, I'm up against the clock, I want to do this, that, and the third, then what typically takes place is that you tend to sacrifice things that are important to you, right? Like your value, your standards. If you're so desperate to be in a relationship, to start a family, because you feel like you're up against the biological clock, then you're going to sacrifice and kind of like run past these red lights.
Mm-hmm.
If you're 25, my question is, and I don't know, you know, her religious background or culture, but it's like, what's the rush, right? Like, you're single, young adult, 25, whatever your career or whatever you're doing, what's the rush for you to be in this relationship, right? To start a family or whatever the case is that she said that she needed to have and do. Like, what was the sense of urgency? What was prompting that if you're only 25? I mean, everybody's situation is different, but 25, and Ashley and Jay, y'all could talk to me. Like, at 25, is that a situation where you're like, yo, I gotta find the right one at 25, and I'm willing to kind of just, like, you know what I mean? Like, you still kind of figure
that definitely.
I don't know. Tell me.
That definitely makes this sound a little strange, like the decision making.
Hey,
I wonder how old he was. I mean, it don't really matter. I'm just curious. But like, this situation for me, it's like, listen, I could feel sorry for anybody for being like misled in that situation, right?
Right.
But I think when you start to kind of lack, you know, empathy is over time, like when it starts to kind of like go on for so long through so many situations, right? First of all, this is genius, right? 50 plus million views. It's about 6 hours long, right? I didn't have time to listen to the whole thing, but I've heard clips, right? It sounds like a real life kind of Tyler Perry film in real life. You know what I mean? With all the themes and the twists and the turns and the stuff that's so unbelievable that she got to even tell the audience, like, yeah, I know you're not going to believe it, right? I know you're not going to believe it. She say it over and over, right? And she'd be like saying stuff like, you know, like, just because reflecting and telling the story, I think even she knows, like, her decision making is so poor, it borders on ridiculous at times, right? Like, the man is showing her pictures of money that doesn't exist. He works somewhere he doesn't exist. He's telling her a life of somebody else. You know what I mean? He's talking on the phone to people that's not there. Like, so after a while, you're going to look at the other person who's telling you the story and you're saying, like, You know what I mean? Like, what's going on with you that you're accepting this? You know, now, because this is like, yo, where does like lying meet red flags meet accountability, right? I mean, who knows where the lines are? So it's like, you can feel sorry for anybody that's misled, but after a while, it's like, this is just thing after thing after thing. Like, trust me, bro. I was just reading something. She did sign with CAA, you know? So she will be on somebody's talk show. They're going to have a panel with his family members and all of this.
They put it to a book, brother.
Right. And yeah. I wouldn't be
$300,000 so far. She had $300K. You never know the motivation. You know, like, was it, I'm going to go through this so I do have story to tell? Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, like, you
Tyler Perry like that. Is working on the script right now.
This is,
who? I mean, Tyler Perry.
Yeah. He probably thinks she stole it from him, you know? or it'll be on Tubi.
It's definitely going to be on Tubi.
And it was like this, like, I was really, because some of the, like you mentioned, the decision making was so, like, some of it was just pretty safe. Like, you're moving in with somebody 2 months to during COVID, and like it just insight and decision making was just so.
Did you say because it was unsafe?
Dude, she moved in with this dude like after a month. Like, hey, oh, the COVID, we're gonna lock and let them come in again. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, you funny.
She turning red flags pink.
Yeah,
word.
Red flags pink. But yeah, no, like, I think though, I guess her doing the narrative is some level of accountability, because she is, you know, reflecting in hindsight. And, you know, I do wonder, you know, because they said he was lying and a pathological liar and scamming and stuff and or just like, getting over, but she done made the money back if she spent any on him.
Like, but he has a lot of,
like, they were like superb lives. Like, they were just, they said he was like, he worked, he got money on the money. Like, what are you talking about here? Like,
he was telling her simple lies. No, I was at the store. No.
Yeah, like, oh, like, nah, he's like, yeah, nah, I want to go to London.
Look at the grocery store. I'm a firefighter.
Yeah, like, yo, like,
yes, y'all see what the first date was?
Where was the first date?
Is a popular restaurant that was mentioned.
Oh, not, stop playing.
Yo. Not, and this is a quick Google search. So everything I'm saying is coming from a quick Google search. But where I'm talking about, fella?
A cheesecake.
They either went to Applebee's or the cheesecake.
There we go.
Listen, it didn't seem like they were, and again, I don't know any history or experiences.
Yeah,
they seemed like regular, simple. Like, oh, you coming into the game, like, you're gullible. I'm like, somebody's going to take advantage of her. I'm not trying to dogpile on her, but she was talking about, like, oh, he promised to take me to London. Anyone that knows me knows I want to go to London. Well, you came in the first conversation with that. It's like, yeah, babe, I'm going to take you to London.
Okay. Like, Mr. Wayne, he said women overshare. And a lot of times you give the person a cheat code how to.
Like an intake.
He said, this is supposed to be a direct quote. It was intoxicating. Because, see, I was talking to, you know what I'm saying, one of my friends about it. And she was saying that she really does believe that, you know, there's just, you know, circumstances like that. Like, she said that. So my friend's perspective was coming from more of the side of, she does have empathy. Because it doesn't, like, so I said, I'm more interested in, like, the psychological profile of a woman that let this happen. So I'm looking at personality traits. And, you know, like, obviously a large portion of people will say, oh, a woman that allows somebody to do that is either immature, low self-esteem, or whatever. They ignore those red flags. And, you know, my friend was just mentioning how it doesn't necessarily have to be either or. It could be someone that's not a skeptic or someone that's super spiritual, because he was doing a lot of positive things too. You see, like, they did actually have a date. So it is a person, because, you know, it's people getting catfished and they send that money and falling in love with a person they never even met before. Like, I've worked with people like that too. But at least with this, she said, so the quote, it says, it was intoxicating to not have to worry financially about paying the bills. It was a wonderful feeling. So I guess, you know what I'm saying? He would give a little, lie a little. Give bare a little, minimum. Lie a little. And that little secret.
He gave enough
to bare minimum.
Buy into the dream.
And that's the thing where I feel like I know it resonates with people, right? Like I get that aspect of it because like you can go anywhere and people are talking about it, right? Majority women, I'm not generalizing, but majority just for them. And I get it. Like it resonates because at some point in time, most people have, you know, had game run on them, misled, whatever the case may be. But I feel like this is also like a misery loves miserable company type of situation, right? Mm-hmm. Where, I can kind of relate to it. That's where the empathy comes in. Then it's also like, girl, he told her this, such and such. Yeah. And that's where I think where some of the like attention aspect where people are like kind of drawn into it. But I mean, listen, it's working out for her. I hope that she actually is utilizing this as like a learning experience for the reason. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like he was running like superb game and like a special playbook. Like this was like,
that's what I'm saying. Because we're skeptics, though. We're trained to be curious. We're specialists in behavior modification and assessment and all of that kind of stuff. And that's what my friend was just highlighting, that sometimes, you know, if you're naturally a skeptic like I am. So that's why she was telling me, because I'm like, I ain't got no empathy. I don't see how that could happen. And she's like, you know, people that rely more. So, you know, like dialectical behavior therapy. In order to have the wise mind, it's the rational mind and the emotional mind. And to me, I rely more on the rational. I have to focus on the psychological and emotional needs in order to be wise. But there are some people that rely more on that emotional, psychological piece. So they only focus on how you make them feel. So you could be like, babe, like, think about it. I know y'all seen the little pictures on social media where the woman is at the register paying and the man hugged up behind her. Like, and they like, you know, she paying for it. Like, you know, this is the person that is right here. Then the man.
That's that payday pose.
Go ahead, baby.
Payday pose.
He at McDonald's holding her tight. Like,
oh yeah, shoot,
man pose. He better, no, you better not stand behind me like that. Cause that is the broke pose that I'm like, don't do that. Like, no. So if he played on her heartstrings, and if she's from a rural area and he was a city slicker, I mean, I don't know where he's from. His little name was Legion, but it also said, she said that he was a narcissist. And
I don't know, dude. He's not my client or my patient. And I heard about the mental health diagnoses they were throwing out. But you don't have to be a narcissist just because you take advantage of somebody that's unfortunately low self-esteem.
Right. You could be an opportunist.
Yeah, the game is the game, unfortunately, sometimes. That's what it is. It is pimping dying sometimes. It's already unfortunate.
So, again, they already found him. He started to give interviews. So, yeah. He's not the smoothest guy out there. My point is, it just gives you more, makes you more skeptical about how it went on for so long. You know what I mean? Like, again, I could see how he can paint the illusion, like, especially initially, right? You know, you taking out to eat, you paying bills, you know, all of those things, you know, he's, you know, got a lot of keeping money around, but over time, it's like, right. All the person is showing you is a screenshot of money, you know what I mean? And nothing else is moving, then, you know, there's most likely a prop, you know?
And he look older than her, too.
Oh, boy.
Is she 25? It says he looking at taking legal action.
Yeah, I was reading that.
Listen, we're going to move on from it. He said that she cheated on him. That's what he said. I thought that was funny. Yeah. I hope that through therapy, you know, she makes the all the self enhancements, and she gets a more effective vetting system, and for so when she can navigate the dating game in a more healthy manner and make better decisions.
The last place she's going is to a therapist's office.
Is that you going to
therapy? She's going to CAA to cash that check and file some dates or wherever she's going to host whatever show she's gonna have. Or this and that. You talking about she going to therapy, bro. She already processed
It's an agency. What's the name agency? For like, stars or whatever. So that's your number?
LA, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Creative Artist Agency. I never heard of this. Okay, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. All right, so staying with social media, right? You guys are familiar with the Omahale situation, the Nigerian singer.
I just watched that video.
Watch the video. Ash, did you see it?
All right. Let me play that real quick. Hold on a second.
Man, you're gonna get the channel shut down. You're gonna get the channel wired. What's wrong with him, man? You know?
Get me up to speed.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard about it. I ain't see it. Okay.
Talk young lady up.
So he got her out the crowd. Okay. Well, dear, told you about this.
Yeah, this, it get a little wild right here.
Okay. Where is my man?
For you to be in the audience that you played to.
Okay, now it's that.
Oh, there you go.
That's him shaking his head.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Did she kiss him?
I don't know.
How long is this? Is this repeating like a reel or this?
Oh, this is it. No, oh, this is gold.
This so
up there for a while. He's up there for a while. He in the crowd. All right, so I'm afterwards, right? So there's also video of him, like they're walking away from the concert. The dude is walking all by himself. She's trying to walk with him. He's like, nah, whatever the case is. So turns into a big thing, right? Blows up on social media. So, you know, of course, there was a lot of backlash on her. People were feeling bad for him, so on and so forth. Now, because we are all about journalistic integrity here at the Black Psychologist Podcast, she did do an interview, right? And she said that she revealed that she was in a defined and committed relationship with the guy, and that they both had agreed about her going up on stage to dance with the singer, right? She said that that her dude actually encouraged her to go meet him on stage or go up on stage with her. And then that she said that her man had been going through some challenging moments and that she wanted him to cool off and have a good time. That's why she bought tickets for the show. Listen.
I'm so glad you showed me this because we woke up this morning talking about, like, yo, you heard about, and he didn't say any names. He was just like, Shorty went on stage. And I was like, what's wrong with dancing? And he told us, man, I wish you would go on stage.
Hey, there you go.
Man, listen, I seen Usher and Trey Songz do the same thing, and nobody ain't complaining about it.
But see, here's the thing, because I feel like this is kind of similar to the Usher and Keke Palmer thing. But
yeah. I see them do the same thing. Because
they came in over. That ended her relationship.
And so that's the thing, right? So,
well, there you go.
Well, see, and this is the thing, right? Even if that is true, like they had a conversation or whatever the case is, there's a whole consideration of respect manner, right? Like, it's one thing for you to go up there, you want to dance for life, you want to dance for Omalay, whoever the case, even on the other side of things, right? At the opposite end of the spectrum, say this is Nicki Minaj, say this is Cardi B, whoever, right? They pull you up on stage, you sit on a chair or whatever the case is. There's still decorum and consideration for the person that you're with, right? Going up there, you're getting handsy. You're going up because she was a willing participant in that situation. Simple as that. Now, again, everybody's relationship is different and whatever you guys agreed upon at the same time, there's still, I feel like, a factor of respect that has to go into it. Because I feel like if you're acting like that, that might be an indicator of another type of issue or some other.
Yo, but see, everybody gets what they deserve in this scenario. And this is why I'll explain to you. This is why I say this. This is not a scenario for people that are in a relationship, right? This is a scenario for a person that is single, right? This is not John Legend serenading your girl from a piano 20 rows away, bro. You know what I'm saying? This is whoever, Usher, Burna Boy, bending your girl over on stage in front of 20,000 people and having dry sex with her. Either way it goes, whether it's Nicki Minaj doing it or whether it's, you know, this dude doing it. It's not something that people in relationships, it's not a situation you would want to be in, because like a lot of situations that are for single people, it can get out of control very quickly, right? Yeah. Like, so it doesn't matter what she says she's going to do or not do or be respectful of or not respectful of, she or he, when you get on stage with the star in front of 20,000 people when you've been drinking, it might be a situation that you lose control of, you know, very quickly, because unless he does the same show every night,
mm-hmm.
how do we know that she knew that he was going to close the veil and then dance privately with her?
He takes people, he pulls someone out the audience, so he does that all the time.
All right, well then, there you go. And it comes back to my original point. It's exactly why they were walking separately afterwards, because her man's stomach couldn't take it, you know what I mean? And likewise, if it's his girl, he shouldn't be able to take it, right? Unless they're, you know, unless they have some type of alternative lifestyle, open relationship, more power to them. But it goes all, but it all circles back to my original point. This is not something for people that are in relationships. It's for single people.
What
everything
is?
Everything ain't for everybody.
Ash, what you think? You said you do. He woke up. He woke up. I wish somebody would.
So listen, I don't think it's grounds to end a relationship, but I do have a more flirty front personality. And with that being said, I do, and I am more mindful now, though, because, like, you know, I'm in a sorority, and the brothers that are the fraternity are known for being nasty. And so when we meet and greet, you know, sometimes it's hugging, sometimes it's picking up, sometimes it's, you know, just things that, like you said, Jay, it could just happen so fast, or that's been the relationship, you know, because it's brotherly, sisterly, and maybe some, like, borderline flirtiness or whatever, but... I do think that it's not grounds to end a relationship, because, like you say, caught up in the moment. But I was, you know, but to me, it's important to know your partner. And my goal is to never disrespect who I'm with or make them feel a certain way. So you already know going into it if it's going to make that person feel a certain way. Now, I did have to pitch to him, well, what if we was at the Megan Thee Stallion concert and she said she wanted you to, you know, come backstage and hang out. He like, well, where you at? And I'm like, I'm back there too. He like, well, I would check with you. I said, what does she want to do, a twerk TikTok on you? And then he told me, well, that's Meg. You know, I'm never going to see her again. And, you know, but he did have preliminary protocols to check in with me. But I do think it's a little bit different when it's women versus men, because she did go down like she was kind of on her knees, getting her knees dirty. And that's kind of, you know, usually men are just going to stand there if they, even like if it's a quick lap dance or whatever. But I do think everybody has to do what works for them. But I am a little more flexible where that comes from. Because at the end of the day, you know your partner. You know what I'm saying? And I know I've dated some guys that if they did that, I already know that he going to be sleeping with her when I ain't around. Like, you know, because that's how they move. It's all about character. But I do think that if we was out in Vegas or wherever we at, Atlanta, at Magic City or whatever, and a girl come and she bouncing it, I wouldn't be like, oh, you disrespecting me, blah, 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 you know.
I think it's different because me as a man, right, I know women go to strip clubs, right? I know they go to bachelor parties, you know what I mean? So I know what goes on there, you know, because again, I've been to the gentleman's club, you know what I mean? So my point is, even most people in their relationship are going to have one of three rules, right? Either you're going to be with the type of girl that it thinks if you go to a strip club, you're cheating on her, right? The type that'll go to the strip club with you, or the type that's like, yo, go to the strip club, you have fun, which means there's an arbitrary line in the sand, right? I don't know what the line is. Throw money at them. Don't touch them. Touch them. Don't bring them home. I don't know. But there's a line in the sand. You understand what
you're
saying?
Yeah.
But I agree totally with what you're saying. And I think most people would, right? Because most people, if their girl likes Chris Brown and they buy him tickets to a Chris Brown concert, And Chris Brown's like, yo, can I take a picture with her? And he puts his arm around her or hugs her. You're not going to have an argument on the way home. You know what I'm saying? Now, that's different than if you take your girl to a Chris Brown concert and she disappeared for an hour and a half backstage and you wandered around outside trying to figure out where, how you going to get home. That's different. And
that's
I think that's big bank,
take little bank.
Right. And I mean, that can happen either way. But, you know, regardless of who's in the situation, male, female. But my point is, I think the situation Ashley brought up is a regular situation, right? Like, yo, we're in Vegas. We're going, baby, you want to go to a strip club? Nah, that ain't my thing. But you and Kyle go. But, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Or don't go, or I'm going with y'all. You know what I mean? But that's, to me, is different than, you know, you looking up, you know what I'm saying? And a whole bunch of lines have been crossed, and a whole bunch, you know, got out of control a whole bunch of ways, you know?
And I think
I just don't think it's a single person thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's it. And I'm going to tease out the combination of both of what you said, right? I think the difference is, typically, if it's a situation where you are at the strip club, you're typically going with your friends, right? In a situation like, you know what already goes on at a strip club. So a lap dance, whatever the case is, like, cool, you're going to do what you're going to do. You have fun. You're with your people, right? This is different in the sense of, one, because it's happening in front of a crowd of people and you got the social media aspect, which is heightening things. They keep panning back and forth to him, right? In between the things, and now you're seeing it, and then that whole element, right? Because we have to include that variable, the fact that you're seeing it along with other people and gassing him up, all these other different sound effects and different things, and you're seeing it take place, right? Also, you got to have that respect or that communication beforehand, right? You got to know who you're with. Like, if you know the person that you're with, male or female, tends to be a little inflexible and is like maybe a little bit more possessive, then you don't even go on that stage, because whether it's a celebrity or it's the person around the corner, they're going to feel a certain type of way with you being touched by another individual. Now, again, if you were with somebody and you guys are kind of more flexible, cool, and it's like, all right, it's Usher. All right, man, listen, you're going to go up there, Usher. He's going to give you a lap dance, whatever the case is. Cool, because it's Usher. We're not going to have a problem. And then, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really important to know your audience, right? Know the person that you're with. Mm-hmm. And don't have that conversation or that respect factor. Again, it may not be a deal breaker, but that could absolutely be the beginning of, like, I'm going to start maybe looking at you differently, or there might be an indicator, like, bigger issue.
Dang. Looking at me differently? Like, yeah. But what about Swiss and Alicia? Swiss and Alicia had that thing where Alicia was with Usher during the thing, and he had a whole dialogue about that, and, you know, they still solid. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people...
You know the changing variable with that is that Swiss was like, ooh, she up there, she's singing, they performing. So he didn't
exactly
get, right.
And listen, I don't want to play
he didn't get good, he walked off.
But, you know? But I think roles play. Listen, people who are in entertainment and people who are famous have different ideas of that. Like, I'm not trying to, like, first of all,
you in entertainment. Somebody was asking about this podcast today, and I was telling them, you know what I'm saying? It's only a matter of time before you somewhere else. So you what?
Yeah, I keep trying to tell you, man. We entertainment.
Okay. No, I'm just saying. I think they got different views, man. Like, how can I say this without going too left? Like, the same way how same way how for regular people who are on the ground like us, right? It's not necessarily mainstream for somebody to be in a marriage with somebody who's like an adult entertainment star, porn star, right? Now, if you're a rapper or entertainer or actor or you're rich, it's normalized, right? Kanye West, Tyga, like these dudes, like, yo, they are seeking out girlfriends who are in that industry, right? Because within their world, it gives them status, right? So I'm not making a direct comparison, but what I'm saying is somebody like Swiss Beatz is not going to look at, yo, people are looking at my girlfriend and makes me insecure. He might be looking at it like, yo, it makes me feel powerful that everybody got the eyes on her and Usher. Now,
right.
Joe Schmo ain't going to think like that. He's going to feel intimidated.
Yeah,
Because
it might be Mr. Take Your Girl. Look, I posted on Facebook a status and I said, hey, fellas, what are you going to do if a guy comes up and flash money, take your chicken ass you want now. Like, you don't care if I say, yeah, I'm from Harlem, uptown, where we flash money, take your it ass you what now. Yeah. At least the dude wasn't disrespectful, because he could have said, you know, he could have went and said, what now? Like, the era of entertainment that we've come from. Cash, like, I wish that I was partying when Cash Money was having concerts, because I'd have heard about them concerts. I wouldn't be on stage, but I definitely wanted to be in the mix.
Because
I knew I was going to be somebody one day. And like you said, that footage, man, like, ain't going to get away from that. So, to me, I can't even imagine being, like, in my role now as a professor and that kind of video going viral of me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when you are a part of, like, a profession like we are, we can't even engage in that kind of stuff unless you got, you know, mask on.
PDA.
A wig, a glass.
Yeah, and unless you like a sex therapist or something, you're going to spin it that way. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Okay. Now, you cooking, brother. You real good.
I have to be 100% private practice then, because ain't no university setting. Still, you know, like, fooling with you with that.
It's the only way to spin it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, listen, man. I hope that their situation works out. Those individuals, I hope they work things out. But yeah, you got to be careful. Be respectful of your partner. That's the way I'm gonna summarize that. Real quick before we get out of here, Ashley, because I know you got to go. I asked Jay this a couple episodes ago, and I want to get your input. Right. All right. Right now, I want you to the hypothetical. Right now, as you are, would you rather be happily in a relationship and only make 75 grand a year, right? But you're in a happy relationship. Or would you rather be miserably single and you're making 300? I'm going to tell you what Jay and I both choose, but I want to hear from you. Miserably single, making 300K, right? Or happily in your relationship and you're only making, I don't want to say only, but you're making 75K right now as you are. And this goes on for the rest of eternity.
75K and happy.
Okay. All right.
Because the 325, let me get clarity now. I'm miserable.
You're miserably single.
Oh.
So, like, you can still have relationships, like, kind of one-on-one, but I mean,
you're just gonna be never satisfying.
You're never satisfied. You're not happy because you're not finding that one, right? So you're miserably single, but you're making 300K.
Now, y'all know I love money. Like, Munir get on me about, he's like, you do anything for money. You know what I mean? He hard on me when it comes to that chicken because I do love it.
I seen the earrings that you switched out of. I saw them. I saw that. I was like,
look, I did that intentionally because I was like, you know what's crazy?
I'm just saying,
that's what I'm saying.
So I said, I was like, well, she gonna take them off for the
Cavs? Yeah, I could take them off. I had on the Louis Vuitton headband earlier, day, but like somebody called it out, was like, oh, I see you. I had the earrings, so I would say happy in 75 because I could move back south, and 75 goes a longer way in the country than it does here. So because when I think about like well-being, I've been single, you know, I was single for a while before I got into a relationship and I got married in my 30s, you know, like some of those stereotypes that come with being an independent, strong Black woman. I identify as all of those, but I don't view being strong as depressing or anything like that. So I could, but to not find somebody that I could have that enjoyment with at this stage of life, that is what I prefer over the ladder. But damn, that's like a $225,000 difference or something. Like,
so
a lot of chicken.
Dave said he would be happy with 75K in a relationship. Me, I'm taking that 300K, babe. I'm gonna just be miserable. Listen, I told you, I am not wavering on that.
Yeah, I'm moving back.
That's the hard one. Like, oh my gosh.
I'm going to invite y'all.
Imagine
to
what you could do with 300. Like, how much is that a month? Like,
more than enough. More than enough to need. Listen. And I told,
that's 27 grand a month before taxes.
Look, I told Jay, you, and him, y'all both can bring your families to the cookout, to the barbecue, to my acres of land. And I and I'll be
also already have a child too.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, so I'm good. Yeah.
Wow, we're gonna have to come.
Yeah, we'd be miserable, but listen, I'll be all right though. Be all right.
And it's just miserably single. So like, yeah, like not finding it ain't that's why I had to clarify because I'm like, I got this miserable.
It's not miserable.
I got other rewarding relationships. It's just
love life. Sick ones.
Yeah, I just
You straight the rest of the year. It's just Thanksgiving and Christmas. You just gonna feel crazy, you know.
I got football. It's good. I got football in the NBA. I'll be all right.
Yeah. After that,
at the game, I'll be there. Fourth time.
Would you move?
Probably. I gotta move to where the, you know, where they be at. You know what I'm saying? I gotta be out there with the heel.
Well, you can have like if it's a spectrum of miserable, and this is like extreme misery and this low level misery. You want to go with a low level misery?
Low level. I'm gonna be unhappy. It's gonna be. I'm gonna be spending a lot of money doing therapy.
You're going to crash out for that
300 grand. I love when I get on here with y'all. Like, I got to teach till 10 tonight. I'm hoping that we end a little bit early, but this was definitely a great pre-class engagement.
There you go. Well, we appreciate you coming on, Ash. Again, this is a thing to come of, you know, again, with the Psychology of Love edition of the Black Psychologist podcast. So we appreciate you because you are our family, not only, you know what I mean, in medicine, but just because you're an amazing human being and a friend to us. And, you know, you were in the trenches with us as we were going through our graduate program. We all survived and now we're thriving. So we, again, we appreciate it. Catch her on the conversation with the Kennys, teaching at an academia near you, also a part of Sisters in Medicine. She's doing big, amazing things in the community, educating individuals regarding mental health and other different medical ailments. And so, you know, absolutely, we will keep them abreast of everything that you're doing. You know, keep us posted so we can continue to highlight all of your accomplishments and going on in your endeavors. Anything else before we get out of here, Jay?
I just, of course, we want to thank Ashley for joining us and everybody for hanging with us. We appreciate the support. You know, we're going to keep the content coming. So appreciate it.
All right. Thank you guys for having me. And we shall return soon.
All right. Definitely.